was going to listen to their chanting.
And a whole lot of interesting things happened.
Like just knowing that their chanting was going to be recorded, the tension went up. And then when it was recorded, when they actually, okay, are you ready yet? No, I need some more practice. And then it was recorded, they were like you experienced in 2 minutes. So it just, you know, it escalated over time. Then the recording was like one whole side of a cassette tape when it was cassette tapes, when it wasn't CDs and different technology. And I literally went through listening carefully to their chanting for one whole side of a tape. And it's very audible when inattention comes. Just from hearing the sound of the mantra, when the mind goes, the quality of the chanting goes. And then when it comes back again, the quality of the chanting is back again. Just from hearing. And then I underwent the same experience. Some devotees were saying, can you make a japa tape that we can listen to? And I thought, oh my God. I better practice. Better practice. And just as what Mataji shared, when you're chanting, knowing that others are hearing, then you know you're much more careful. And in fact, the other that's hearing is Guru and Krishna. So that's part of what of our whole japa retreat. A big item at our japa retreat is when we're chanting to Krishna, but we're chanting Krishna's name. It's this another paradox. It's to Krishna, but it's Krishna. And he's present. And he's giving his association. And he's hearing. So that's a nice practice, to practice that, you know, we're personalists and Krishna's name is not different than him. Yes. Draw down the energy. Well, the Prabhupada's words are, we're calling the internal potency of Krishna. Oh, energy of Krishna. So in the vocative, it's Hara becomes Hare. Oh, energy of Krishna, please engage me in the service of the Master, my eternal Lord, Krishna. And Krishna means all attractive, and so it's Krishna's calling us. He's attracting our mind. He's attracting us to him. By our calling his name, we're becoming attracted, and Krishna is attracting us. So, what we've done so far is
talk about when,
we've talked about pronunciation, and now we're going to discuss some other points. How loud should we chant? Rupa Goswami has commented about how loud we should chant. Prabhupada also commented about how loud we should chant. There's even technical Sanskrit terms about how loud we should chant. Rupa Goswami has given 3. In English terminology, it's loud. And another is soft. And another is silent. There are 3 categories of chanting. Different terms could be used, but the terms that he uses are vachika, which is loud chanting, and upangshu. Upangshu means murmuring or soft chanting, but audible, and mana sika, is in the mind. So, like, our Gayatri mantras are in the mind, or not audible by others. Murmuring sometimes is used. And our chanting should be soft. But what Rupa Goswami says is, of the three, only Upangshu qualifies as real japa, because it contains, and it contains the qualities of both, the benefits of both. So here's, I'm just taking from Rupa Goswami's writings. Vachika, loud chanting, if you find that you're becoming drowsy, chant louder. Loud chanting helps keep one awake. Soft chanting also keeps one awake, but to stay attentive while soft chanting, you have to put energy, you have to invest energy in the activity of chanting, more than just something that's loud that keeps you awake. The benefit of loud chanting is other living entities are benefited who hear that sound. And it helps us to hear. Little experience I had when I was a very new devotee, Giriraj Maharaj was helped to train me in Krishna consciousness when I was in the bhakta. And he had a practice that's a little different than his current practice of chanting. He chanted very loudly, and he chanted very fast, and he chanted right in the temple room, and everybody left the temple room because he was chanting so loud and so fast. And they complained. Giriraj, why? Because then he wasn't Maharaj. Why are you chanting so loudly? So he wrote to Prabhupada, and he showed me the letter that Prabhupada wrote back. And it's in that letter that Prabhupada said about speed, because that was the second question he asked, but he said chanting loudly is good. It helps to capture the mind. But not so loudly that everyone leaves the temple room. And as far as speed, one should chant swiftly, that's good, but not so swiftly you cannot hear every syllable. And so that the soft chanting is, according to Rupa Goswami, best, soft but audible. It helps keep the mind absorbed because you have to pay attention. It has some, it strengthens the mind to strive to hear the syllable. It has some benefit in terms of breathing also. If you're chanting softly, you can sustain your breath longer, and that also helps make the mind more peaceful. As the breath is more regulated like that, it helps to concentrate the mind. And it naturally creates a meditative state. Of course, the downside is when the effort of the mind slackens, the mind starts to wander, then it's easy, becomes easier for the mind to wander and easier to sleep. You have the purpose of japa has to be very strong while you're chanting softly. There's some discussion like this in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Haridas Thakur's question about silent chanting, how come the name is being chanted aloud? This is wrong. And Haridas Thakur took great exception to that statement. It's not wrong, it's better. And gives the primary reason is not only one's own benefit from chanting, but others are benefiting from the chanting by audible chanting. So it's better. And now that's speed, pronunciation, the time, now posture. Sit properly. They even have called the tapes it properly. Nayanabaram, I don't know if it's true, but I believe it. Because I have a direct experience. He said he was the one that Prabhupada was correcting when he said sit properly, because there was, it was at 61 Second Avenue, and he was in a Nayanabaram slouch against the altar, and Prabhupada stopped and sit properly. So sit properly is sit straight with the body erect. And, you know, physiologically it does certain things, and mentally it does certain things. It strengthens one's capacity to concentrate, to sit properly. Or conversely, you don't sit properly, and your concentration becomes weaker. I noticed the same thing that somebody also, during this 32-round day, so tomorrow we're going to chant, this was in Chicago recently, we're going to have these 32 rounds for the devotees here, or 64. And it was noticed, I was sitting in the front, they asked me to sit in the front with Chandramali Swami. I noticed those devotees that were sleeping were not the devotees who were sitting erect. They're the devotees who are slouched over. And it was just a matter of time from slouched over to sleeping. And conversely, those devotees that were chanting very attentively were sitting straight. There's a definite connection. Attentiveness. Even one's moods, like, yeah. There's this conventional story, not a Shastric story, but in the category of a conventional story, once upon a time, a devotee went to their spiritual master and said, why am I feeling such sadness even though I'm chanting? And the individual came kind of beaten by their sadness and their experiences that they were sad about, and they were all hunched over. So the spiritual master didn't say a word, he just raised his finger like in a knowing way and then sat down and for 5 minutes said nothing. And then he looked up and said, it works. When you hunch over like this, you become depressed. Meaning, it enhances the wrong mood if we don't keep proper posture, or we keep proper posture, even for, like, back problems. A big part of just the physical pain of back problems often has to do with protracted bad posture. So, what to speak of attentive chanting. This is going to go into another one of our exercises that will come at the end of this, and that's alignment, but alignment of the body, alignment of the mind, and alignment with the heart. So, speed, or the pace at which we chant. Sixteen rounds in 2 hours is a standard Prabhupada introduced for beginning. Now, sometimes beginning it can take longer, but that's just a general standard. Seven and a half minutes per round. So you can just sit by a clock and see how long it takes to chant one round, and if it's more than that, that's okay, but that's a nice standard to go for. And less than that, that's okay. There was one devotee who was a newer devotee, and they were chanting 16 rounds in an hour and 20 minutes. And I said, wow, are you hearing all the syllables? They said, yes, Maharaj, I'm hearing all the syllables. And I said, can you make a recording for me? So I can listen to your chanting. It's just, you know, a couple of rounds. And then they made the recording, and I listened to it, and you couldn't hear all the syllables. In fact, they were regularly skipping certain syllables. So I went with, sat with them and played the tape back and said, listen this way, listen in that way, listen that way. It might be a good idea if you chant a little slower. He said, oh, my schedule, I can't chant 16 rounds if I chant slower. Better that you don't chant 16 rounds and you hear every syllable. So they did like that, and they felt the quality of their chanting is much better. Now they're back to 16 rounds, but the consideration is not how much time, as much as it is hearing everything. Hearing in a qualitative, attentive way. But that's some kind of a guideline. Prabhupada did say by practice, then an hour and a half for 16 rounds. I take longer than that. I take longer than 2 hours to chant. But it's not, you know, not watch the clock and then it's good quality chanting. It's just some kind of guideline to help. Those are just some, those are practical, like, time and space tips. Then, it's nice when you have those things aligned that you, I'm sure we've all experienced this. There's a sacred space that when those things are properly aligned, then some quality chanting takes place. So, where the chatter of the mind is just over, it's just gone. It's the chanting of the holy name is so strong. And the atmosphere is not distracting you and, you know, things that you gotta do, and it's just chanting with real attention. Try to enter into that sacred space. Or pray to Krishna to invite you into that sacred space, to welcome you into that, to assist you to come to that sacred space. We're going to do a little exercise, a writing exercise, and have you for yourself, because you don't need to share, but take it with you. What are some of the things that keep you from that sacred space? Like, if you chant near your computer and the call of the computer is there to go do something, or that could be an example of something that keeps you from that sacred space. So what are some of the things that keep you from that sacred space of just full absorption in the chanting of the holy name? Write them down. Take a minute or two or three. Write down three things that keep you from that sacred space of intimately connecting with the holy name.